Amen. So again, as I shared with you a little while ago, when I was looking at the title of that article, Love Costs Everything, and as I thought about it, and I started making the connection between that and this resurrection season, I began to realize that's what it's all about. The love that God had for us that he displayed and told us about in John 3:16. Let's go there. Most of you are probably already there. Okay. Let's read verses 16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, why did God send his only Son? And what motivated him to send it? Love. Love. God was motivated by love. When you think about it, there was no other reason for him to do it. I'm going to show you that in a minute. When you think about what is it that we could possibly give? What could God possibly benefit by redeeming a bunch of sinners? You need to think about that. Just because he loved us. See, when I think about, is this something I need to do, guys? When I think about what Jesus did, and I would wonder, okay, why would somebody love me like that? You know, because the world trains you to just throw the word around. You know, the old baby, you know I love you. You know. I'll give you that translation out of Men's and Women's Fellowship. Okay. Where he said, yeah, Dad, I love you. Can I have $50 to go to the movies? Can I use the car tonight? You know, I mean, so we throw that word around so much where it's almost as if it doesn't really mean anything. Because we just say, I love you for whatever reason. Get in trouble, you say, oh, you know I love you. But look at what it says in Romans 5. And I'm in the Message Bible. Seems like every time I walk next to this mic. See? It reads, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. I'm sorry, verse 6 to 8 in the Message Bible. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But listen, God put his love for us by offering his Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. Absolutely no use to God. He put it all on the line for us anyway. Just because he loved them. Now, can you think of a people whom you don't know, don't have any ties to, that you would give everything that you have for? You don't have to answer. Okay. Think of people that have absolutely no use to you whatsoever, but you're going to love them with the God kind of love anyway. And if you did, what would you be willing to give? Would you give them everything? Or would you just give them something? See, giving something wouldn't have saved us. He had to give us everything. Why? Because he knew how we were. Let's go to John 13. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and we share this often. But we're going to examine something here. I'm using the Voice translation for verse 34. So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I have loved you. Who's speaking here? Okay, so Jesus is telling us, remember the ways that he has loved us and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Now, we have to understand, he's not just saying this. He's commanding it. And there's a difference. And you know what I do. I look up words. And the first thing I found out is that I found out that Jesus, what he was really doing is that he was leading by, when he said that, he was leading by example. Leading by example. Because remember, he said in the Gospels, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. That's what he said. And now he's telling us, as he has loved us, we're now supposed to go out and love others. See, he says, we got to lead by example here. You don't do that by just giving some of your love. You give all. So what does all mean? All means different things to different people. But just to give you a very generic definition, you giving everything means you give exactly what God tells you to give. Period. And this way you don't have to try and guess, because God will be very specific. Real quick, one time I was, a car will only go but so far, and then you have to put some gasoline in it.
Okay.
And so I'm on the Garden State, and I always kind of, we pull up, you try and gauge which line to get on. And then I figured, okay, I need to start doing what we tell the people to do. I'm like, all right, God, what lane do you want me to go to? And I'm scoping out the workers. And there was this one worker, he looked like if I went to the lane, he'd throw a brick through my window. That was the look on his face. And I'm like, boy, I hope God doesn't send me over there. Well, that's where he sent me. Okay. And the person wouldn't even look at me. And I was noticing how he'd just go up to people and go like, wouldn't say hi, wouldn't say, he'd just stand there like you're supposed to know to say, give me fill her up or whatever. And I'm like, man, what's up with him? God said, I want you to give him a tip. And I'm, hey, no problem. I reach in, pulled out, I think it was $2, and God was like, no. I'm like, no. It's like, no, I want you to give him $10. And I'm like, okay, I know the voice. Gave him, so I took it out, and he said, and when you give it to him, I'll tell you what to say. And I don't remember it verbatim because it was several months ago, but it was to the effect of, I know exactly where you are and what you're going through, and I've got it under control. And that's why I said to him, God told me to give you this. I told him what God said. This guy's face cracked open with a smile from ear to ear. He started jumping up and down. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He starts smiling, waving at all the cars going by. Okay. But, think about that. Why? Because he was going through something. God sent one of his representatives to give everything. Why? Because God was concerned about that young man. Just like he was concerned about us. That's why he says in the Message Bible, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. He said, that's what I've done. Kept my Father's command and made myself at home in his love. And I said, that's a key. I'm not going to be able to show the God kind of love if I don't make myself at home in the God kind of love. In a few moments, I'm going to show you why some of us don't do that. Okay? So after Jesus kept the Father's command, then he turned around and gave us the same command. But let me tell you something about that word, command or commandment. Yes, it means an order, but it means something else. It's something that I had never thought of or never even heard before. A commandment is a precept or an order based on your lineage, based on your bloodline, based on your associations, based on your ancestry. See, Jesus was saying, because you're a joint heir with me, love one another. Because it's in your blood, love one another. Because it's who you are aligned with, love one another. See, that's what he's saying. And when you look at it in those terms, it carries more weight. He's saying, because you said that you are a believer, love one another. Why? It's in the blood of a believer to do so. So that means if we're not loving one another, we have to make a conscious effort to not love. Because it's in your blood. Hey, I'm black, in case you didn't know. Okay? It's in my blood. Now, I could try and do some things to cover it. We already know someone that's tried that. Okay? All right? And you go through great expense and pain and everything, but it'll still come out who you are because it's in your blood. It's in our blood to love each other deeply and fully. It's in our blood, folks. And we have to understand that so we can do it. But what gets us is that there is a huge assumption in that scripture. Huge. It says, remember the ways that I have loved you and love others in those same ways. Before that, it says, a new commandment I give you, love each other deeply and fully. There's an assumption there. The assumption is you know how to love. The assumption is you remember how Jesus loved you. Those are assumptions. And sometimes too many of us act like we don't remember. And so we don't do it. And we make this resurrection season almost for naught because it was all about God giving his only. Jesus giving his all because they loved us. And then we'll turn around and for whatever reason demonstrate that we don't love or that we are selective in whom we will display the God kind of love. Very selective for a number of reasons. And so I started thinking about, all right, what's a good definition for love? And when you want a good definition for love, this may sound funny, don't look in Easton's Bible Dictionary. You need a theologian's degree in order to understand what it was saying. And I read all these things, and they're all right and they're all true, but they can get confusing. And I read it for about 90 minutes before I started getting what it was saying. And I'm like, I don't have 90 minutes. Okay. So God brought back to my remembrance that the late Dr. Cole, he said, so he gave a very, very simple definition of love, one I never forgot. He said, love is giving to others at the expense of yourself, because love desires to give. Pastor Clinton wrote in one of his songs, love's not just a feeling, but an action. Love is grace and mercy and compassion. It's the things you do, not just the things you say. See, so love should be active. It should be tangible. It should be seen, heard, and felt from a believer at all times, no matter what. No matter what. Now, usually what we do is we'll refer to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to do that today because it's very simple. Because love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. And this is a tough one. So you may want to just, you know, hold the person. You know, the person that can just hold their hand tightly. Love puts up with all things. Love trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. And John 3:16 tells us God so loved. The fact that this world is still here shows us that God endures all things. Okay. The fact that I'm standing here shows that God endures all things. Okay. But he gave his only son, and his son gave his everything. And it says, remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Well, look at John 1. Let's see what it costs Jesus. And this is just an overview or a summary of the cost. If you want to know detail, start at Matthew, go all the way through, you'll see. But in the Amplified Bible, John 1, getting it at verse 1, we all know it. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was where? So Jesus, before all time, was where? Was with God. And the Word was God himself. So not only was Jesus with God, he was God. Okay. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. This is who Jesus is. Okay. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Now this is Jesus before he came to earth. He was God. He made everything. He had status, he had position, he had power. He had juice. Okay? Right where he was. But this is what he agreed to do. And this is from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. He was acquainted with grief and sickness. We did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. He bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. The Lord made to light upon him, to rest upon him, the guilt and iniquity of us all. Can you imagine? You have absolutely no sin in your existence, and everybody else's sin is now put on you, and you receive it willingly with some knowledge. You know, well, what knowledge? Knowledge that every human being is not going to appreciate what you did for them. And some are going to just out and out reject you. Some would rather go to hell than say, Jesus, come into my life. And you already know who they are. And you agree to go through all of this anyway. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was cut off from the land of the living, even though he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him, put him to grief, make him sick, make his life an offering for sin. Jesus himself told his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things. For us, we say, why I have to suffer? I didn't do anything. And we start pointing out people. See, I'm not like this person or that person. We forget that love costs everything. I mean, Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his disciples. He even knew who the disciple was and knew when he was going to be betrayed, but yet he still loved Judas. He still gave his everything for Judas. How many of you have a Judas in your life and you just don't want to be bothered with him? Okay. You know, I know how it feels to have a Judas in your life. I do. And yes, there was a time when I wanted it to cost them everything. Okay. But he still gave Judas all that he had. So what we want to take away from this resurrection season is that God demonstrated it, Jesus demonstrated it, and their expectations that we demonstrate it. And what is it? Love. Love. Because without love, Jesus never leaves heaven. Word never becomes flesh and dwells among us. Without love, he doesn't stay on the cross. Without love, he doesn't get arrested. Because he called, hey, if he didn't love us, he'd have called down more than 12 legions of angels. Okay. But he said, remember the ways I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in these same ways. And I want to do an illustration. Because, see, when we receive Jesus Christ, our love is pure. We have the perfect God kind of love. And it's new and it's exciting and everybody's smiling and we're just happy. But then some things happen. And I want to just take this time and thank Mrs. Perkins and her volunteer staff for helping me get all these props ready. I told them, I said, look, you guys just have fun. This is what I need. I'm not going to stifle your creativity. You know, whatever you give, we'll run with. We just appreciate it. But this represents the pure love of God. Honey, do you feel it? See? And when I received Jesus Christ, it just draped itself on me. Just a pure love. Love. We'll give to anybody. Sacrificially. Doesn't care. Walk up to anybody on the street and talk to them. But how many of you are familiar with the parable of the sower? Okay. And it said that, you know, Satan will come because of the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, it'll come and it'll choke the word. And would you folks come now? Okay, these are ready for prime time players. Okay. Right. See, because as long as I stay like this, everything is fine. Everything is fine. But there's some things that happen. We call it life. And we allow life to come, and life comes, and life will inject different things into us. Wait, let me call you out. See, I call these anti-loves, okay? And one of them is we're religious. Come on, religion. Okay. Okay, we're religious. See, we'll reject people and be sanctified about it. Okay? All right. Oh, we will. We'll say, hey, the word says with such a one, don't even eat. So, hey, let them go to hell. They should know better. Okay? We are so stuck on the letter of the law that we forget the commandment to love. Okay? We tell you what the word says, and we'll let you know, hey, according to the word, you're going to bust hell wide open. Okay? What? We're religious. Who do we have over here? Let's see what we got. Oh, come on. Impatience. Why is this taking so long? Okay? I mean, what more do I have to do for this person? I've given them, I've told them the word, I brought them to church, Pastor Judy laid hands on them. What's up with them? Okay? All right? Then we have education. You're like, education? Hey, lean not unto thy own understanding. But see, we've done research. We've done research. And we found out that you can't give to these people because they're just going to scam you. No, you don't understand. I Googled it. Okay. I checked it all out. So no, and ain't no way I'm going to give them. They'll probably go buy drugs or alcohol or something else anyway. So no, we're going to, God, you have to send somebody else for them. Okay, who do we have next? Oh Lord, jealousy. Jealousy. They got more than I got. You want me to give to them? They should be given to me. Okay? I mean, can you admit, but that, those, am I telling the truth? I mean, I know nobody in here it happens to, okay? But we've all known someone or heard of someone, okay? With these types of, where they make these types of statements and they fail to show that sacrificial love of God. They don't remember the ways that Jesus loved them. Who else we got over here? Oh, man, we're unkind. We're just mean-spirited. Why? Because I woke up. Okay. I mean, that, yeah, it sounds ridiculous because there's no good reason to be unkind to anyone. But we're believers. We say that I got the love of God in me. I got the love of God in me. I got his love, his power, and his ability. I got the love of God. And I'm unkind. Right? We have. Oh yeah, I'm looking for status. Yeah, I'll do this because if I do this and the pastors know about it, they'll have me behind the pulpit. Yes. They'll know that I'm ready. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If you think I'm going to give to them after what they did to me, you must be high. ain't no way on God's green earth. The only thing they'll get from me is one of my 16s where the sun don't shine. Okay? Because they're telling me I have to give them something. No. They should have thought about that before they did it. What do we have? Ah, safety. God, now you made me. And you know I'll go wherever you send me, but you know I ain't going into that neighborhood. No. I've been delivered. I'm not going back there and deal with those people. What, are you trying to get me to see you face to face sooner? Okay. No, but we'll refuse to go. We'll refuse to go into areas and just show the pure love of God, because we're concerned what will happen to us if we do it. So there's some place we just don't want them to see our love, because they may take our life. We forget that Jesus said whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. But if you lose it for the sake of the gospel, you'll keep it. What we got here? Oh, anybody have a preference? I won't look. Okay. You have a preference. Oh, no. I. Let's see. Love these people over here. Or love these folks over here. I'm very comfortable with them. I love this section over here. They're my preferred people. And then, see, we'll use that one and we'll get religious. After all, God loves Israel. All right? It said the disciple whom he loveth. So I'm going to love these folks over here. Ah. Wealth. I'm not going to give because it's going to cost me what I worked hard for. I'm the one that put those 60 hours a week in for 15 years to get where I am now. And you think I'm going to give it to this person? Because why? Because they wouldn't go to school or because they got a sob story? I'm going to give what I earned? Did we not remember that the Bible tells us, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth you the power to get wealth to do what? Establish his covenant. What's his covenant? That he loves us. He loves us. And I'm not going to show that love because I'm concerned about my material things. Choice. See, that can go right next to preference. Because, you know, essentially they mean the same thing. But God said them both, so I wrote them. We wrote them both. You choose. And he said, well, God gave me the right to choose. He said, yeah, choose this day whom you will serve. And you decide to serve you. Because God wants you to give your love to someone you're not comfortable with. I choose no. Oh. Why don't you come here and hold that up in the middle for us? Okay. You won't love because of your past. See, you make everybody else on the planet pay for what you went through. And what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to be victimized again. Because you're refusing to, God is prompting you, and you're refusing to show his love to the folks to whom he sent you just because of what you went through. That tells me that not only are you not willing or not able to show love, but you won't even let yourself receive the love of God. Because when you receive the love of God, it will wipe away all the hurts from your past. But we use this one to act ugly with people consistently. Always talking about, you don't know what I went through. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm really not trying to be cruel or mean. But who cares? That needs to be your attitude. God knew before you were born that those folks were going to do that stuff to you. He knew you were going to make some unwise choices that allowed some of these things to happen. But he also knew what to put in place so that you don't have to live your life in condemnation because of them. He gave his everything. And part of that was whatever you need to have peace, Jesus gave. So your past should never be a factor in how you love. Yes. Gloating. Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get. People come with a sob story. They're having problems. You know, they had a tax audit. And you say, hey, it's not my fault they don't know how to fill out their tax form. We just gloat. Something happened. How many of you watch a program? I'll know by the laughter. And you'll see this bully. What they say when I was young, the term was, they got his comeuppance. Okay, his bully went to mess with someone. The guy picks him up and slams him face first into the ground. And we jump up and we say, yes. Thank you. Where are those honest folks? Say it again. All right. Okay. We say, that's what he. And we get happy about it. We'll watch programs on television. Something that says an innocent television program. Nothing's innocent. We'll watch the program and a bad guy gets killed. We high five. Yes. That's what he deserved. Okay. What do we have? Thank you, past. Okay. Your future. Come on out. I can't be seen with these folks. I'm on a career path. Wrong people see me with them. What's going to happen? If they ask me, what am I going to tell them? That God told me? These folks don't believe, they don't know God like I do. Do you really know him? Okay. Because if you knew him the way you say you do, why would you be concerned about your future? He said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you hope and what? A future. To help you, not harm you, to give you an expected end. So your future, what you're aspiring to become, should have nothing to do with you showing the same love that Jesus shows to you. Okay? Yes. Your position. Too many of us are vying for position. If it can't help, we won't do it. We won't do it. Yeah, I'll love if it'll get me in good. But if it won't benefit me, guess what? God will send somebody else, because after all, God, he cares about them. Right? And lastly, come on out. We're short-tempered. We're short-tempered. Turn to your name and say, did it prick your heart yet? Short-tempered. Yeah, I was going to give to them, but they bumped into me. No. No. Well, you go and you walk up to them and you take a breath and you're like, get out of my face, please. Folks, You actually think they want to live like that? No. Here's what we don't understand. God sees one of his children. God sees one of the people that he so loved. God sees someone that he gave his only son to die for. He sees them. He sees their need. And what does he do about it? He sends you, one of his children. Why does he send us? Because it's in your blood to show the God kind of love. It's in your lineage. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what better person to send than one of my children. If I want someone who's going to accurately represent who I am, I'm going to send one of my children whom we have personally trained and groomed and poured into, who knows all my precepts, all my characteristics, knows everything about me. I'm going to send them. And this is what they're going to give up. See, the word says, let me read this to you. I believe it's the Message Bible. Are you understanding this? All right. No, it's the Voice translation. It says, but the things of this life, the worries, the drive for more and more, the desires and other things, those things cluster around. Come on, I want you to cluster around the love of God. Just come tightly around. You know, infants, because they shouldn't be able to see you. Just come right around. Okay? But just point, you could just show your signs out toward the audience. Okay, raise them up. See, it just clusters around, chokes the life out of the word. Chokes the life out of the love. Because of all of this stuff that we have. Now, if I'm God and I'm trying to get more love in, I can't. Because I keep running into stuff. And then I have the love of God that's in there trying to get out, but can't because it's got all of this stuff choking at it. But this isn't who we are. So what do we do about it? Okay, you can let her breathe now. I need you, if you don't mind, just stay to the back, but you can sit down. Thank you. Yeah, one of the things I love about the things that God gives me to share is I had an agreement with him back when he first asked me to start doing chapel at LCA. And I was like, God, if I may, you know, I'll say whatever you tell me to say, but just please give me things to share that are easily understood. Okay, I don't want you to have to go home and think about this for 40 days before you realize, oh, that's what he said. No, I need you to be able to put your hands on it right now and see how you work this thing out. Okay? I said, all right, God, what's the easiest way that we can let the people know how to handle these things? He said, ask them a question. And I'm like, okay, but what's the question? He said, I want you to ask them the same question that Jesus asked Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? See, simple. That's all. God isn't, he's not denying that these things don't exist. He's not denying that they're not going to come and try and take over your heart. He's not denying that. He's just asking you a question. Lovest thou me more than these? And he says, it's not a new question. You have to answer this question several times throughout the day. Because you go through the day and different thoughts come into your heads to do different things. Has anybody ever woke up and decided they didn't want to go to work? and you had to decide, do I love getting a paycheck more than cuddling up in my bed? Okay, you had to decide that. If you're married, you have to decide. You love partying with all these other women more than you do spending time with your wife? You have to ask yourself these questions. So the questions aren't new. God is making you ask them concerning you showing the proper kind of love based on who you say you are. You say you're a believer. God didn't come down and get in your face and say, you're born again. That's it. No, you asked for it. And he gave it to you. And now he's saying, act like you are. You're made in my image and after my likeness, and there's nothing about me that says any of these things. Nothing. How do I know that? The scriptures say God is love. And we already read the characteristics of that love in 1 Corinthians 13. So that takes care of impatience. History. You can leave now. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Because love is patient. What else is love? Kind. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. No. Nope. Okay. What else does it say? Let me use this. Okay.
Let's go back.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. You knew you were going to have fun today. Right? Where are my verses? Big fingers. I turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Love isn't jealous. See ya. Doesn't seek its own advantage. Yeah. We're status. Goodbye. Preference. History. Okay. It isn't irritable. See, sometimes they try and stay. All right. Doesn't keep a record of complaints. No, yep. Unforgiveness. See it. Wouldn't want to be it. It isn't happy with injustice, but it's happy with the truth. Okay. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. What does all things mean? And didn't Jesus say he is our peace who has broken down every wall? Didn't he say my peace I give? Did the Bible not tell us that God, my God, shall supply all my need? So all of you, get out of here. See, all that's left. I need you once more, honey. Actually, I need you all the time, but I need you this once. Okay. Yes, please. See, all that's left now is the pure, unadulterated love of God that can freely get to everyone and freely receive from God because made a choice to give up everything else that I was using for my protection or my benefit and only rely on God. This is what God wants. Just his pure love. That's what Jesus gave us. And he said we're to love others in the same way.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Folks, don't think for a minute that those things won't try and come back. Because, see, all of those anti-loves came from the same place. They were birthed from a thought. Something happened and you had a thought about it. We have to understand that things are going to happen. Things are going to happen and you can't do anything about it. Jesus said in this world, stuff's going to happen. But you have 100% control over what you think about it. Now, you can choose to take the easy way out, or you can choose to operate based on your bloodline, based on your lineage. I have to operate based on being a pastor. You wouldn't expect anything less than that. You wouldn't cut me any slack at all. You're like, you're the pastor, and you always tell us, so this is what you should do. I mean, how many of you, honestly, you go for surgery to have your appendix removed, and you come back, you come out of the anesthesia, and they've taken off your left leg. Are you going to walk in love towards that surgeon? <What'd you say? laughs> Deacon Kevin said you may hop in love. But then, what'd you say, Mom? After you're through suing them, yeah, hop all the way to the bank. Okay. But yet, when we miss it, we expect the whole family of believers to just forgive us and act like it never happened. Because the word says love doesn't keep an account of a suffered wrong. And God knew everything that we were going to do. We have to remember Galatians 2. I've been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in and adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. Jesus gave up his deity and died a common, humiliating death. There's one more thing I want to share with you. I noticed this. I was watching The Passion of the Christ, and that happens to me often. You know, different lines will just stick. And this is when the high priest, Jesus, was on the cross, and the high priest was mocking him. He's like, You who would destroy the temple and then in 3 days rebuild it, prove who you are. Come down from the cross. Well, first thing is, Jesus didn't have to prove who he was. He knew who he was. Okay. Why is that significant? Some of us get into trouble because we're trying to prove something. Prove that you love me. Always gets quiet on that one. Prove it. And we get ourselves into trouble trying to prove. But Jesus knew that he didn't have to prove anything to this high priest. He also knew that while he had the ability, if he had come down from the cross, redemption wouldn't have been available. If he had come down from the cross, healing wouldn't have been finalized. We need to understand that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," everything you needed or would ever need to display that pure love of God was already done. Already done. All you have to do is believe it. That's all. That's all. Yeah, did you have a rough time growing up? Yes. Yes, stop getting on other people's case because they didn't have it as rough as you did. Be happy. That's the way you grew up. That doesn't have to be the way you are now. Stop living in the past. Stop hanging on all the anti-love and hang on to what you know. It said, remember the ways that Jesus loved you. And then show your love for others in those same ways. We're here today celebrating the resurrection of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus. We know what he did. So we've already remembered. He gave his all. Gave his all. Just because he loved. And he expects us to do likewise. And that's what I want you to remember. Hebrews 9. I'm going to close with this. Out of the Message Bible, starting with verse 13. But when the Messiah arrived, high priest of the superior things of this new covenant, he bypassed the old tent and its trappings in this created world and went straight into heaven's tent, the true holy place, once and for all. He also bypassed the sacrifices consisting of goat and calf blood, instead using his own blood as a price to set us free once and for all. If that animal blood and the other rituals of purification were effective in cleaning up certain matters of our religion and behavior, think how much more the blood of Christ cleans up our whole lives inside and out. Through the Spirit, Christ offered himself an unblemished sacrifice, freeing us from all those dead-end efforts to make ourselves respectable. Tell your neighbor, I'm respectable. All right? So that we can live all out for God. In other words, folks, because he did, we can. That kind of love didn't cost something. It costs everything. Everything. And we share. We share in that resurrection power, that resurrection glory, and that resurrection life. I was talking to Pastor Jesse this morning. I said, I remember Pastor Clinton used to sing that, to play that song. And now we share that resurrection life with him. We share it. Remember. Tell your neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor. No, I just wait. All right. No, just I want you to just tell this to your other neighbor. See, I remember exactly the way Jesus showed his love for me. And I'm committed to display that love, that same love to you. Do we understand?
Okay.
Let go of the anti-loves. Okay, anti-loves, well, just raise your banners wherever you are. Or they take them out. Okay, well, you got rid of them. Okay. There's a line from You Know Me in these silly movies. When I was young, even though they say it was one of the worst movies ever made, it scared the bejeebers out of me. It was called Plan 9 from Outer Space. And there was a line where it said, this person left his home. Then the voice said, never to be seen again. Every time I opened the backyard to go out at night, I'm like, do I really want to go out here? Okay. Well, that's the way it is with all the anti-love. You want to put it out of your life, never to be seen again. Father, we thank you. We give you, Lord, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Father, that you've made this thing so simple. So simple. You gave us a clear example of how you love us and how Jesus loves us. And we don't think that it's such a big deal that you expect us to show our love for others in those same ways. It is such an honor to be part of your lineage. It is such an honor to be included in your bloodline. It should be natural for me to just love. Thank you, Father, for never giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us while we worked all of this out. But now, Lord, it's harvest time. You've spoken words over this congregation. You've told us your expectations. You've told us your plans. And we realize none of it is going to come to fruition until we start consistently demonstrating your love one to another and to the world, because that's the only reason you have us here in the first place. Spirit center for the nations, we are. And what are the nations going to find out when they come in to this center? The love of God is powerful, real, and active in us. We thank you for it, Lord. And we ask that by your Spirit that you reveal to every individual those areas where they still have some anti-love. And once you reveal it, they'll get rid of it. Thank you, Father. You never gave up on us, and you never will, and we're never giving up on you either. We love you, Lord. Thank you for dying on that cross, taking that torture, that abuse, all of those stripes, so that we can be here today whole, free, full of love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Love costs everything. Everything. But even though Jesus paid everything, he still will not force himself on anyone. He will not. He will simply ask you, let me in. He'll stand there. He doesn't break in. He knocks. And all you have to do is open the door and say, come on in. It's that simple. So I'm going to lead you in a confession. Because this is all, it's all about Jesus, and it's all about experiencing His love.